Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you as Willie joins us now from snowy Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Willie.
Hey, guys. It's gone from snowy to just flat-out cold. Take a guess at the temperature.
20.
27.
Lower.
Oh, man. 15?
Lower.
10?
Higher.
12.
12.
11.
11. Oh, it goes to 11.
11.
This temperature goes to 11.
Oh, man.
Let's say we woke up, it was six, so it's gone up. Temperature's going up.
It's a heat wave coming
through. Getting
warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting warmer.
Let's say hello to Joe Rexroad, one half of Robbie and Rexroad, morning 6 to 10 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe, it is not 12 degrees here, and we are thankful for that.
Yes, indeed. Man, that's brutal. And also, I'm always appreciative of Spinal Tap references. Thank you, Jay.
Oh, that's such a great movie, for sure.
Nigel coming through for us.
Dan Pompey had a really nice piece in The Athletic on Jeffrey Simmons yesterday and, you know, going through his career, his life. But obviously the thing that has stood out to most people is the contract talk and kind of what the Titans have told him. He was asked about it yesterday and said he's focused on getting to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then he had a tweet, about that he loves being here and he wants to be here and all those things. I think to this point he's handled it the right way, but he still, like, when he kind of brings it up, then he's like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. What's kind of your take on where Jeffrey Simmons is with this whole contract thing?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, he can't get upset when he gets asked about it yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, I know that Kaharski and Glennon, at least those two, you know, asked him about it as they should have. I mean, when a quote like that appears, you know, on the record, him talking about that, that demands a follow-up question. So he can't get upset when people bring that up. But, I mean, I talked about this on the show earlier today. You know, you get in a situation where Dan Pompey is going to do a big profile on Jeffrey Simmons. He flies in from Chicago. They spend time alone. You're just getting into a whole bunch of topics that you just aren't normally getting into on your day to day run through the locker room, crowd around him for, you know, 7 minutes and move on, right? So I mean, like I understand the different settings why you're gonna, you know, you start getting asked about things like that in a real in-depth conversation. Okay, well it's a question that was good that Dan asked, and like, I'm not surprised that Jeff didn't just brush it aside. And it was a very interesting quote. I'll say that. Very interesting.
Oh, big
quote.
Time.
No doubt about that. I don't have a problem with Simmons then saying, okay, I mean, he doesn't want to keep talking about this over and over, but he has to also understand, like, next story, this isn't a story. Well, you did make a story. You could have not said anything and said, you know what? Same thing. You could have said the same thing to Dan's, right? And just said, hey, I'm not talking about that. I'm just focused on the season right now. So he kind of created the situation. Ultimately, like, my overall takeaway from that whole thing is I don't think it's all that big of a deal because the Titans know that they must sign him and they will sign him. And I don't think it's going to be some rocky journey to get there.
Let me ask you this, and this question is totally Stillman of me, and I will admit it on the front end. But let's say they don't get it done, and he ends up leaving in whatever fashion that is. That would be now two of guys that are Vrabel dudes. Like, Vrabel loves these guys. You can tell anytime Jeffrey Simmons comes up in a press conference, you actually get somewhat of a smile out of Mike Vrabel. Like, he loves the guy. What would that do to the relationship with Vrabel and Robinson if A.J. Brown and then Jeffrey Simmons were to go because they can't pay him?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure, you know, at the press conference the next day, Vrabel will tell, oh, yeah, I'm on board with this, all fine, United front. But, look, we saw We saw the A.J. Brown thing, what he thought of it. You saw what he really thought of it, right? Not what he said about it, but how he reacted to it. It was a kick in the stomach. So, yeah, I mean, he would certainly be justified in being angry at John Robinson if it played out that way. There's no doubt about it. Again, I don't think we're going to get to that, but no, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good for that. It really wouldn't be good for the Titans, you know, near future football teams that they're trying to field to lose that guy.
Yeah, well, let's hope so, Rex. Let's hope it doesn't get to a point where Jeffrey Simmons is not here. I'm not going to believe it until I see it, because it's sort of trending the same way A.J. Brown trended. I'm not saying that Jeffrey's going to get on social media and do some of the things that A.J. did, but when A.J. started, it was slow. It was slow drips, and we all dismissed it. You know, well, a lot of people dismissed it. Let's just say that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the pipes burst, and it's we're trading them. So I'm not going to believe they're going to sign Jeffrey Simmons until I see Jeffrey Simmons in their office signing a contract on Twitter or Instagram, whatever they posted on.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, look, I don't know for sure what's going to happen. I do think that, you know, that I mean, look, I believed it then, said it then, we'll say it forever. Like, I think the Titans mishandled that, and ultimately when someone's under contract, they're under contract. Like, I don't believe for a minute that, like, A.J. Brown was going to, like, hold out this season or anything like that. I mean, there probably would have been some of a holdout in camp. But, you know, you had another year, and then you had the tag, too. So I just think the Titans, just like the Niners, should have stuck it out. And ultimately, it's like, well, you may want this, or you don't like this, or you want to play with Jalen Hurts. Great. I mean, it's pro sports. Here's your contract. You know, and I think he would have honored it. And I think that experience, while I certainly would hope so, would also sort of inform the Titans on this one, right? Mm-hmm. For one, like, you can't keep losing guys like that of that quality. And two, I mean, the way it went down. And I'm with you, Demi. Like, I don't think, again, I just don't think it's going to be like that. It is a unique situation with AJ and Hurts and all that stuff. I think that Jeffrey Simmons wants to be here too, and I think that's an important part of this.
Yeah, it is.
Do we think there's a money issue? I know that was referenced, and it was hard to infer what happened, but I just wonder too. I talked about this yesterday. We were talking about AJ Brown last year with Chris Mortensen. He was talking about how some of the owners who have deeper pockets, who have the better revenue streams from their stadium, it's easier to write the big checks for the big signing bonuses when you have premier players like that. Do we think that's an issue here, Joe?
I mean, if it is, and certainly, I mean, Amy Adams Strong, that family, they do not compare to, you know, the top echelon, you know, the Cronkies who can just, put a few more billion in that stadium. You know, I mean, it's not that. I think her net worth is, what, $1.3 billion last I saw from Forbes, something like that. But, I mean, you can't write a check for, you know, a $40 million signing bonus check to someone. If that's a problem, then, you know, maybe you need to look to sell the team, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's different for sure. It's not as comfortable or easy, but, I mean, if you want to be competitive and help your revenue, then you have to find the cash for this stuff, right?
Yeah, you do eventually. It has to. You have to find a way to keep your marquee players somehow, some way. And Jeffrey obviously is the most valuable player on that defense, and some would argue on the team. But let's switch gears here a little bit, Rex, and talk about the Vols. They got a big game coming up. Many wished it was 1-2, but as we have it, it's 1-3, which still will be a great matchup. But I believe the Vols, to me, and only me, and I'm not talking for Vol fans, I think they're in a win-win situation here because of the seeding. I think Georgia, this is a must-win for them, because if they don't, I think they put themselves further away from the conversation of playoff seeding than not. But I think Tennessee, even if they lose a close game, I think they're still in it, because they were ranked number one, and I think the strength of schedule is still there. And them actually not playing in the SEC championship game may help them rather than hurt them.
Well, I definitely agree. Like, they're in a much better position, and Georgia's in a much more urgent position of needing to win this game because Tennessee has the Alabama win, and Tennessee has the win at LSU, which right now is a road blowout against a top 10 team. I mean, LSU 10th in the playoff ranking. So those two wins. Georgia has the Oregon win, which is very good, but the rest of their schedule has actually been really soft. I mean, for an SEC team, it's just how it's worked out this year. They have Mississippi State and Kentucky ahead, but no, I think if Georgia loses this game, they would need tons of help. Tennessee still would need help. They'd have a good profile. You know, what you would need really would be, you would then need, if it's like Georgia-Bama, you really would need Georgia to go ahead and give Alabama that second loss. And, you know, that would help. And you know, there's Clemson out there undefeated. There's TCU out there undefeated. We know Michigan, Ohio State, one of them's going to lose. And whichever of them loses, I believe, would not have as good a profile as Tennessee. So they'd still have a solid chance for sure. You know, I think if Tennessee wins, I think you can almost – you can be more declarative if Tennessee wins Saturday. I would write with very dark pencil them in the playoff field, no matter what would happen in Atlanta. And I think you could just about count Georgia out, barring some crazy stuff happening, which does happen too, of course.
Well, Joe, let's take that, because three teams from one league in a field of four, I do wonder about the politics of that. We were debating that yesterday. Yeah. And to me, if you're undefeated and you're sitting there in a power conference, then I don't know how you couldn't take, let's just say, Clemson. But you mentioned TCU. I don't know if, you know, most of the time, a team that doesn't belong there will slip up and lose one game. But if you're undefeated, let's just say it's Clemson and it's versus a one-loss Tennessee team or Georgia team that's the third team from the SEC. To me, there's no way politically they can justify having three teams from one league in there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. If it's that scenario, so let's say the scenario of, okay, Michigan, Ohio State, one of them wins, that team's in. You have the Georgia-Alabama scenario with Alabama winning. So now both of them are in, right? Georgia-Alabama. So we already know Michigan, Ohio State's in. Clemson is undefeated, ACC champion undefeated, yeah. I mean, I think you could make the case that Tennessee's you make a strong case that Tennessee's profile is still better than Clemson. They've done more, had a much tougher schedule, but I agree with you. I think that the not wanting to have three, but also just and I'm okay with the undefeated thing. I mean, it wouldn't be as good an achievement record, and Clemson would not have played games of the caliber of Alabama at home and at Georgia. So you could make a strong case, but I still buy, like, if you're undefeated, how are you left out, right? If you're undefeated in a Power 5 conference, how are you left out? So I agree. That would – they'd still be in a pretty good position with a loss, a competitive loss Saturday, but they would absolutely need help.
He is Joe Rexroad, one half of Robbie and Rexroad. You're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cannot wait. I'm jealous. I'm very jealous, but enjoy it, and we'll see.
My favorite setting in the SEC is Sanford Stadium. I just think it's the most scenic all of them. And they're all great, but that one to me, when the weather's right, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than in that stadium.
Yeah. I agree. It's awesome.
It'll be fun for sure. Joe, appreciate the time, and we'll be listening tomorrow starting at 6.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. See ya.
Joe Rexroad, one half of Robbie and Rexroad, morning 6 to 10 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Also a tremendous writer for The Athletic. Coming up next, we'll continue to discuss the Vols and what is the best scenario, because Trevor Maddich has some interesting comments on this. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right. Let's talk Loan Pronto. If you're looking for cash, holidays are coming up, bills to pay. Loan Pronto has the best program for you, especially if you're saying, well, you know, I don't want to mess with my mortgage rate right now. I've got a really good low mortgage rate that I got when the rates were way down. No problem. Loan Pronto has the all new Express Equity Line of Credit program. It's just what you need. You can keep the low mortgage rate, still get cash out. You don't have to do the full home refi. You can tap a small portion of the equity you have and enjoy the super low rate. So for example, you can get $50,000 out, for example. It would only cost you around $300 a month, and you can get the cash in 7 to 10 days in a lot of cases. And you could pay off those high interest credit cards or pay whatever bills that you need to get paid. Maybe you want to start a home improvement project. You can access up to 95% of your home's value, home's equity, and 9 out of 10 homeowners won't even need an appraisal. So do it now. Get the process started. Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
If they lose a close one on the road then and win out the rest of the way, which I think they will, then they've got a very good chance of being in the playoff. If they beat Georgia, they'll be the consensus number one, no question. But they will likely face a furious Alabama team. And if Alabama stomps them into the mud in the SEC championship game, very likely that the committee would take one loss Georgia, even though Tennessee, you know, played them close. So let's put it this way. The committee will have to debate that. They wouldn't have to debate it necessarily if Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game to give Alabama their second loss. Then Tennessee has the edge over Alabama anyhow.
There you go. Trevor Maddich on with Stillman and Company talking about different playoff scenarios for the Vols and what that might mean if they were to lose this weekend. Welcome back in. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Of course, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So, Willie, I know you don't like talking about the what-if scenarios right now with the playoff at this point. We just had the first rankings, but it's fun, and it's what we do. And I do think it's relevant because of the game this weekend. Because, you know, Mitch Light said on Tuesday, I asked, do you think this is a loser-leaves-town match? He said no, that both would still have, you know, a chance to get in there. I personally believe that with how the committee did it, putting Tennessee 1 and Georgia 3, Tennessee's in a much better position because even if they lose, I think they drop probably to, depending on how close the game is, I mean, they could stay in the top 4, but probably 5, somewhere in there, and then could work their way back up into it and be fine and still make the playoff. Georgia, on the other hand, I don't think has that luxury. If they were to lose this weekend, they would need some help more so than Tennessee would. So I think Tennessee's in a really good position no matter what.
I think they've got to play well. And this is the scenario season, right? This is you heard Trevor come up with one particular one. We could probably sit here for 4 hours and say, well, what about this scenario? Because there's so many right now. There's so many games left. But I think the important thing is just to focus on what you can do. To me, if Tennessee looks like they belong with Georgia and they go toe-to-toe with them, if they lose the game, it is going to depend on how they look as they lose it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to go in there and just have a bad game and get ripped, because that people will remember that. So I think if they play well, obviously if they win the game, everything's going to take care of itself. But if they just go head-to-head at Georgia and it's a tight game and they fall just short, that's best case scenario for me, because if they don't, that means if they don't get to the championship game, their resume is going to be screaming at the committee. They beat Alabama. They lost to Georgia by a field goal, say, and that was on the road, and that's their only loss. You know, that's going to look pretty good.
No, you're right. That's why, you know, asking Rex that question, just wanted to see what his answer would be. That, and I said this yesterday, the seeding to me was done strategically. Because if you've watched Georgia and Ohio State play, you would have to say that Georgia's the better team. Not sure by much, but they are the better team based upon what we've seen of each team. But for them to put Georgia at 3 behind Ohio State, I think it was done for a purpose. And the purpose was to potentially not get yourself in a situation where all three of these teams from the SEC, Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama, will have the potential and a good potential of being in the college football playoffs, because SEC fans would love it, but every other fan base will be screaming, oh, they're biased. Here we go again with this SEC bias, not knowing that the three teams that they chose, well, at least two of them had a strong record. Like, their strength of schedule was strong. I'm not saying Georgia's strength of schedule is that strong, but if you look at UT and Alabama's, theirs are. But you all, because you've heard it before, the SEC bias. So if you put UT 1 and Georgia 3, if Georgia loses, they're out. I can't see a scenario unless Clemson loses, TCU loses, and they got to lose prior to their championship game.
Right.
They can't lose in their championship game. Because I think even if they lose in their championship game, they still get in because they went the regular season undefeated. To me, that's how I look at it.
Well,
so,
I don't know. I think Georgia's win over Oregon, you have to hope if you're a Georgia fan.
But that's just one win. If they don't beat UT, that's just one win. Everybody, see, and this is where people are going to start talking about the SEC bias. Because they will always point to it was only one like that the it was only the Oregon win that's okay, what people will
right.
point at
but
and I'm
what?
Not I'm
and
not saying it's true or not
sure
but they will point to oh y'all always just pulling out the one win
but you've
yes,
triggered me
that's absolutely true that the street cred of the SEC and not just SEC but defending national champion
yeah
SEC they're gonna get some bump. If they're sitting there, if they lose on Saturday, as long as they don't get ripped,
mm-hmm.
if they lose in a classic, you know, let's say it's 52-49, it's the equivalent of Tennessee-Georgia or Tennessee-Alabama. Georgia barely loses, and they don't get to the SEC championship game, and they're 11-1. The win, they got to hope that Oregon wins the Pac-12, and the only loss is to Georgia. That's the best case scenario that they could have. And then they've got to hope that Tennessee beats Alabama for a second time, and Alabama has two losses. Then I think Georgia's chances are pretty good there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But here's my thing on the – Derek brings up the SEC bias. And look, I know people have used that argument for years. And it triggers me not because, you know, I'm a Tennessee fan. I'm a Vanderbilt fan, which is an SEC team that has not done a whole lot as of late. But if you really have a problem with it, then do something about it. Oh, wait, they are. The Big Ten added USC and UCLA. So clearly they were bothered by it. So they're like, hey, let's go get, you know, two of these Power Five good big teams, especially USC, and let's add them to our conference. And that'll help us. Well, then it kind of screws over the Pac-12, but the Big Ten looks at it as, all right, well, we'll just become a super conference like the SEC is. But here's the other part of it. The SEC didn't have to become a super conference to have the bias. It's always been better. It's always been a stronger conference because of the Alabamas and Georgias and at one time Tennessee. Now maybe they're coming back. LSU. Auburn has had years where they've been much better and haven't been a dumpster fire like they are now. Texas A&M. So, like, don't sit there and complain about an SEC bias. Do something about it. And you know, fans that aren't fans of the SEC, okay, fine, I get it. But the tape don't lie. And the tape shows you that it's the best conference in football. So deal
right.
with
it's
it.
They're trying to deal with it, and teams are leaving to go and join the bigger conferences. We know where that's going.
Right.
There's going to be two conferences, and you might as well just start a professional league for some of it. I don't know where it's going to end in 5 or 10 years, but they're trying to do something about it. They can't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think there's a bias. I think it's just the tape doesn't lie. That's just what.
No, it is a bias. But it's probably justified in a lot of ways. There's a credibility, and if it's two teams from two different leagues with the same resume, there's an assumption. There's just a belief that the team from the SEC is better.
Because they are.
If there's a pedigree like Georgia or Alabama.
There's a belief because they are.
Not necessarily, but there's a belief that they are, and that they get a bump that way.
Coming up next, we'll continue to discuss this game because Trevor had some interesting comments on the defense for Tennessee. Can Tennessee's defense do enough to get a win this weekend? We'll discuss that coming up next. But, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right. QC Kinetics, getting people moving who have had problems with joint pain or arthritis. If you fit into that category and you're saying, you know what, I used to play a lot of pickup basketball and I'm not able to do that right now, or whatever that sport might be, maybe you've had surgery, or maybe whatever treatment you've tried to do to address your back pain or shoulder pain or knee pain, if it's not working for you, look into QC Kinetics, because it's the nation's leader in this regenerative medicine. It's brand new technology, and it's actually been around for a while, but it's only been accessible for world-class athletes. And so now it's here in Nashville, Clarksville, and in Murfreesboro. Advanced science uses healing properties from your own body, and those agents are highly concentrated, put into the aching joint directly. The tissue in your joint can be repaired and restored, and then you're back on the field pain-free. And they're doing this without the drugs, without steroids, no downtime, and no surgery. So if you've got that pain, don't wait any longer. Get the free consultation from QC Kinetics, Nashville, Clarksville, Murfreesboro, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Well, what we saw last week against Kentucky was a secondary that is giving up more yards than pretty much anybody else in all of college football overall in terms of yards per game allowed. They jumped all over Kentucky's wide receivers, didn't they? They were aggressive. They attacked. They did everything that Alabama's secondary did not due to their own secondary. And if that portends an improvement in that unit, then yes, they will be good enough to balance out the offense to win a championship. And in defense of Tennessee's secondary, keep this in mind too. It's not just how many yards per game you give up. It's how many yards per completion you give up. So in terms of yards per game, they're one of the worst. But yards per completion, they're in the, like around 30 or so, I think. So they're doing much, much better in terms of yards per completion. And that's a more important metric than yards per game, because Tennessee tends to jump out so fast, so early, that the other teams have to throw their game plan into the fireplace and just start to wing the ball down the field to try to keep up. So you get more yards. So the question is, how many yards per play? And they're not nearly as bad by that metric.
There you go. That's Trevor Maddich on with Stillman and Company. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Willie in Calgary. We'll have him one more segment, and then he's got to go do hockey stuff. So there you go.
There you go, Willie.
Optional morning skate today, or I guess maybe not even skate. They practiced yesterday, so we'll see. I do think there'll be some shakeups in the line combination, some things. I'll be curious to see what they come out there. In fact, we probably, because they're not skating, we may not get a glimpse of it before the game, but we'll see what we can find out when we go over there. Big game, trying to bounce back. This is a tough, tough Calgary team. They are physically tough, and they're going to be angry because they have blown leads at home in the last two games. So they lost to Seattle the other night, so they won't be happy. So the Predators better bring it tonight if they want to turn things back around and get on track on this road trip.
Yeah, I had planned to talk about this in the next segment, but I know you got to go. So do we think they're going to call somebody up? I know John Hines was on the morning show earlier today, and they asked him about Philip Tomasino, and he kind of made it sound like that wasn't going to be happening. So what's kind of your thoughts there?
Well, if he said that, then I believe that that is true. I believe that there will be a call-up, but I agree that it's likely not going to be Tomasino this time. This is I just think the physicality, the toughness of this game, this would be my theory based on what John Hines said this morning, is maybe you try to spread the herd around a little bit more. The herd has been a little bit off, should I say. I mean, you guys see it. They haven't had quite the same impact as a trio. Maybe spread them around a little bit more, or maybe put one of them on a different line. We mentioned this too. Mark Jankowski has played fantastic hockey for the Admirals. He had a couple of really good seasons for the Calgary Flames. That could be an option there. We'll find out soon enough. But either way, I know a lot of people will say, what in the world? What does Tomasino have to do? But, that's a tough call. There's so many of the young players playing well. That's a positive here. But I'll say this. Throwing Tomasino in on the second line in Calgary against this Flames team, that would be a tall order. That would be a tall order for sure. And you want, when you bring Tomasino up, you want him to stick. You don't want to have him there for two games like they did with Cody Glass and then say, well, he's not quite ready. What do? We put him on the fourth line, send him back to Milwaukee. They want to be sure that he's ready. And so that kind of signaled to me with John Hines saying what he said to the morning show.
Yeah, here's what he said. We'll get to the Vols in a few minutes, but with Willie leaving, we wanted to shift to this. But this is what Hines said this morning on Phil Tomasino.
I think a lot of it is going to be based on how he goes, you know, and talking with Scott Nichol, talking with Carl, you know, where is he, watching clips, where is he at? Is he maturing? Is his game maturing? Is his point production there? You know, is he ready to come in? And, you know, for us too, like, as you can see, it's hard. It's been a little bit hard for us to find that top six guy that can play consistent. Like, it's a big jump for some young guys where you're facing, you know, you're going against the top six forwards on the other team, the top D pairs, the minutes are harder, the competition's harder. You know, mentally, you got to be on your game all the time. And we want to make sure that when he come in, like, we expect Phil Tomasino to be a top six forward for us. But we got to go through the development process. So, you know, as quick or as long as that takes, we want to make sure it's the right decision when he comes back.
And I do kind of, I don't know if I question it, but it's like, is he, if you know you have a need for a top six forward right now, could he not learn what he needs to learn and develop and go through that process with the NHL club similar to what he did last year? Or do they really truly look at it as it's more beneficial for him to do it in the AHL?
Well, that's what the discussion has to be. And what we don't know, I haven't watched all the games for Milwaukee. The point production is definitely there for Phil Tomasino, at least early it is. But what they're looking for is not necessarily just that. Because scoring there and scoring in the NHL on as a second-line player are different things. And he is capable of making some plays. We know that. But some of the other things you heard John Hines say there, are you there every night? Can you play against the other team's top players every night? Can you play the defensive game you're looking for? To me, the biggest problem for the Predators right now is defensively. It's not that they can't score. I think they're capable of scoring enough, but this team is built on a great goaltender and solid defense, and they have not been that so far. So I think that's what they're going to be talking with Carl Taylor and Scott Nichol about is, if you know, is Tomasino ready to take on that responsibility every night on the second line? So it sounds to me like maybe they're leaning towards the answer being no tonight. It will happen eventually. There's no doubt in my mind. But you said it, you know, Chase, the risk you run is, let's say you say, okay, let's just ride with the kid for a while and let him learn on the job. Well, you're already in a little bit of a hole. You know, if your record was 6-3-1 and everything else was sort of in order, then I could see that. But you got to win, right? You got to – who's the guy that gives you the best chance to win tonight? So it sounds to me like that's not – it's not going to be him tonight, but we'll see. The other thing is you got to fly him all the way out here. They just played a game the other night. So I'm not sure – not even 100% sure whoever they bring up, if they bring somebody up, would be in there tonight. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we will for sure. I know, like you said, no skate. Bob wants to weigh in on the Preds real quick on our phone line driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com. Bob, welcome in.
I like John Hines. I know a lot of people are complaining about him. I like him. I like the way, I like his coaching style. My concern from what I've seen with the team this year is that at times they seem disorganized and also at times disinterested. Maybe just look like they're playing defense half-heartedly. Have you guys picked up on any of that? I'd be curious to see what your observations are.
Thanks, Bob.
I don't see a lack of effort at all. I think this is a pretty tight-knit team. Disorganized, I wouldn't characterize it like that, but I would say that their structure and their ability to execute the system has not been there. And they're giving up, as a result, way too many high-level chances. Cross-ice passes, bang-bang. Passes to the slot. Odd man rushes, just too many for UC Soros to be able to handle. I think if there's one thing that they can fix now, like I'm hoping that the power play is on the right track now. That looked a little better the other night. That's another major thing. You give me a good power play, and now it looks a lot closer than it when it did last year. And then, but the other thing is too many high danger chances that are coming back at you. So those are the two areas. Get the power play going in the right direction. Cut down on the high danger chances that you're giving up.
Willie, I know you got to take off, but before you go, tell us about Lee Company, and we will check in with you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, guys. Should be on full show tomorrow from the great city of Vancouver, if we can make it over the Rockies tonight, which I like our chances of that. Anyway, let's talk Lee Company. They'll be sponsoring Chase's pregame coverage tonight, and the number is 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. They offer a lot of services. Home renovation is one. If you're doing a home improvement project, you want to get that done before the holidays, get things started there, call Lee Company. They've got that department. They can help you with that. It's just one of many services they have. I always tell you about the home maintenance plan, making sure your heating unit is ready to go, and they'll check your plumbing, your electric, and, of course, your air conditioning when the weather gets warmer in the spring. All of this is available to you through Lee Company and their array of services. General maintenance is another one, home or at work. For more information, go to the website. See all the services right in front of you, LeeCompany.com, or give them a call, 615-567-1000. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. We'll have Silly Underdog Picks coming up in about 10 minutes. Looking forward to that. Had to take a detour there. Willie was leaving. Wanted to talk a little Preds. But getting back into the Vols, defensively, and we knew this offense was going to be really good going into the season. It has exceeded expectations, but so has the defense. The defense has exceeded expectations as well. I don't think they're as deep as they can be and will be in the future, but how do you think this defense is going to match up against Georgia's offense? Because I think what Kirby Smart has done over the last few years is he has realized to combat some of these high-octane offenses, he has to do that on his own, and we know that Georgia has a pretty dang good offense as well.
Yeah, they do. You know, I don't think when you're discussing these top teams, you know, whether it's UT, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, Michigan, when discussing these teams from an offensive standpoint, I think you look at Tennessee, Ohio State, in Alabama as like high powered offenses. Why? Because of their quarterbacks. And there's nothing too much you can do to stop that. Just like I said with Tennessee last week, and people were, oh man, they playing against Kentucky. And I mean, man, that defense, oh my goodness. I said, the only way Tennessee gets stopped is if they stop themselves. No slight to Kentucky and their defense, but this is college football, people. If you have a high-powered offense, and if you have a quarterback that is that dude, that is him, as the young people say nowadays.
He is him.
He is him. Well, Tennessee has a him. Alabama has a him. And Ohio State has one. You know? So when you are dealing with these type of quarterbacks, it's like you just want to try to contain what they do and hope that they make a mistake. Because you're not going to stop them. You're not going to stop Alabama consistently. You're not going to stop Ohio State, and you're not going to stop Tennessee. They stop themselves by things that they do. Overthrown passes, missed passes, you know, a mix up on the offensive line, a turnover. That's what stops them. It's not what you're doing necessarily on defense. These are high-powered offenses. So I don't think there's anything that Georgia can do to stop them. Can they slow them down a little bit? Possibly, yes. But to stop them, that's like saying, I don't know, that's like saying you got a bear versus, I don't know, a mountain lion or something. A smaller cat. Yeah, they can probably, you know, do some things to kind of stop the bear a little bit, or the lion a little bit, but if that bear or that lion really wanted to go at them, they could.
Sure.
There's nothing you can do to stop them from going at you. other than running away. You can do some things to slow them down a little bit. That's UT. That's Ohio State. That's Alabama. You can do things to slow them down, but you're not stopping them. I don't think Georgia can stop them. They can slow them down? Yes. Can they stop them? No. Can UT stop Georgia? No, but can they slow them down? Yes, they probably possibly can slow them down. Yes, but Georgia, too, has one of these high-powered offenses, but they do it differently. Theirs look totally different from how UT do it or how they do it or how Alabama does it. But they still score a lot of points. This is a top five defense in the country.
Sure.
Not just in their conference, in the country, in Georgia. So it's going to be one of these Alabama games. Whoever makes the least amount of mistakes and whoever has the ball last will win that game. That's nothing to do with.
It'll be like Alabama.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's nothing. Defense might make a play here or there like Alabama did and you know, against UT, and UT did it against Alabama. But ultimately, it comes down to how many mistakes are you making and who has the ball last in this contest. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah. I think you're going to be right. And look, I think for our sake and what we talk about here, I hope it's Tennessee.
I hope it is like a 61-60 game somehow. I hope it is. I pray it is.
Well, looking at, let's see. I had this pulled up. Let's see what the total is on.
It has to be over 100.
No, I mean it.
It's not 100?
No.
Man, gosh. No,
but I would hammer it.
What would you say, 85?
I think last I looked, it's 66.5. I'd hammer the over.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be over. Absolutely.
Tennessee's still +8 on the Superbook, +240 on the money.
66.5. So what they're saying is basically – both teams are only going to score like 30-some points.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No.
That's not happening. I wonder what was the over-under versus Alabama?
It was I'd have to go back and look. It was somewhere in there.
Shattered. I think it gets shattered again because I don't think neither one of these defenses can shut the other offense down completely. It goes back to who makes the least amount of mistakes in this game. That's what it boils down to. I'm pretty sure Kirby Smart is telling his team, listen, you know, if we can just get them to make a few mistakes, get one or two stops during the game, we win. Right. And UT and Hypo is telling his guys, if we get two or three stops, if we get a turnover or two, we win this game. That's the way I sort of see how, you know, this Georgia-Tennessee game goes. But I just think in this situation, UT is at an advantage all the way around. You know, we were talking about the potential playoff implications. I think UT's in a better seat than Georgia is. If Georgia loses, I can't see them getting back into the picture unless Alabama has a hiccup, and then they lose, and then they beat UT or something like that. I just can't see if Georgia loses, it'd be hard for them to get into the playoffs.
Yep, for sure. Coming up next, will anybody pick Tennessee in silly underdog picks? That is all next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.